For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. While our conversations with one another during the week tend to fill up with the lingering impact of 9/11/01 or the latest information from the college admissions scandal, or the foolishness of those who continue to focus exclusively on themselves, all of them get swept to the side on a Sunday when you and I come into the Lord's presence. This morning, with the reading from Luke's Gospel, our Lord would draw you and me into yet another conversation with him, and then enable that conversation to spill over into our conversing with one another. Today, he would teach you and me about the possessions that we have in this world. This teaching, however, is not an easy one to absorb. If you and I understand this parable from the world's perspective, it would be a crisis that is cleverly met by a manager through dishonest actions that solve the problem. It would seem then that our Lord is commending dishonesty to his followers. However, if one looks at the parable from a rich man's perspective, then its focus is not on the manager's dishonesty, but on the mercy of the rich man. It has been noted in a commentary that the rich man most likely owns the property on which these other people are growing their crops. When the rich man gets a report about wastefulness, he tells the manager he is fired. But he does not punish him in any way. The rich man is merciful. It is this mercy, then, that this manager is counting on when he decides how to solve his problem. This merciful attitude also explains why the rich man commends the manager for shrewdly managing his personal crisis. The manager trusted the character of the rich man and staked everything on his mercy. The manager cleverly uses the resources available to him in a wicked world in the trust that the rich man will treat him mercifully. Our Lord then goes on to state that the sons of this generation are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. Thus, the sons of light are to be shrewd in noticing where the mercy of the Lord God lies. In the verses that follow this parable, 9 through 13, our Lord addresses his disciples on the proper use of possessions. Possessions can distract the Lord's people from the main focus of their salvation. For example, rather than looking to the merciful Lord in whom they can put their trust, they may see in their possessions a secure foundation that gives them some certainty in an uncertain world. As you and I step into these concluding verses, then, we need to remember that the parable is focusing on the rich man's mercy, not on the dishonesty of the manager. Our Lord gives us three sayings. In the first one, he points out that one can make friends in this world through a skillful use of the world's possessions. In a mysterious way, this reflects Jesus' urging to his followers that they sell their possessions and give alms. Historically, alms are money or food that is given to those people who do not have them. But interestingly, those who receive the alms become your friends because you are merciful to them in times of need, even as our Father in eternity is merciful to us, his baptized people. Our Lord's second saying has to do with faithfulness. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in big things. If you are unfaithful in little things, you will be unfaithful in big things. The manager was faithful in the rich man's mercy, the big reality. The manager also trusted that his reworking of the accounts, a little reality, was a reflection of the rich man's mercy. Eternal treasures are those realities that draw you and me into the Lord's life. Remember the Greek word for joy last Sunday that tumbled out from the finding of what had been lost? That described the eternal treasure. To be rich toward the Lord God, then, is to take part in his holy places. Classic Lutheran tradition has identified those places as the scriptures and the sacraments of baptism, forgiveness, and Eucharist. It is from those places where our Lord is pouring his mercy into your life and mine. In this second saying, our Lord is clearly telling his followers that how one carries out the realities of this world is parallel to how one will carry out the realities of eternal life, the life into which you and I are baptized. The third saying concludes the passage with a question. Are we trusting in the money and possessions of the world, or in the realities of the Lord's life? Or, under the creative yet destructive suggestions of the unholy trio, namely sin, Satan, death, are we attempting to serve both of them? In themselves, money and possessions of this world are not evil. They become evil, though, when you and I turn them into our gods and begin insisting that they must continually provide for our wants and for our needs. Our Lord observes that anyone who tries to have the realities of the world's life and the realities of the Lord's life in a balanced fashion will either hate the one and love the other, or will be committed to the one while despising the other. Now, the manager in this parable was commended because he was shrewd. He chose to serve the rich man, trusting that he would continue to be merciful. He used the possessions of this world to achieve his goal, while trusting less in those possessions and trusting more in the mercy of the rich man. Because you and I are born into the world's life, it is natural for us to pick up on the ways in which the world thinks and does. And our Lord notices that some of the world's people are quite good at exercising those ways. But today, he is encouraging his followers to be just as good at noting the mysterious yet enormous impact of his scriptures and his sacraments on their lives. Why? It's because the impact on us from those places is overflowing with his mercy. And he wants you and me to be very shrewd about that reality. Some examples. Consider the life given you and me at birth. It has a beginning, a continuing, and an end. That's it. But consider then the life given us at baptism. It has a beginning, a continuing, and it runs on into eternity. The possessions of the birth life cannot make that happen. Or, consider the writings of this world. There are many excellent examples scattered throughout its history. But that's it. Now consider the Lord's holy writings. They emerge from eternity. They push into the world's life. They actually address people individually, and they run on into eternity. The possessions of this world cannot duplicate that reality. Or consider the relationships given us by the world at our births. They revolve around ourselves. Sometimes they harmonize with others. Sometimes they clash. Often they leave you and me in character building episodes, and then they conclude. Consider then the Lord's forgiveness. It centers our lives in His. It frees you and me to let go of ourselves so that we then can give to others. And it carries us through the character-building episodes we often encounter. The possessions of the birth life cannot make that happen. Or consider the food of this world. When it is good, it nourishes and sustains our lives. When it is bad or shoddy, it hampers our lives. It can even threaten us with illness and death. Consider then the Lord's Eucharist. It is the meal from eternity. It is the meal at the center of our parish communities, nourishing and sustaining us who are baptized. And it is the meal that continues on into eternity. Again, the possessions of this world cannot duplicate that reality. So let you and me be shrewd about the holy places with which our Lord has surrounded our lives, for they are the places from where His mercy is continually streaming. And they are the only places where the Lord's people can maintain contact with His rescuing, sustaining, and creating activity. The world's possessions ache to imitate what the Lord God does for this world's people, but they cannot. May the Son's Spirit make it possible for you and me to be very shrewd about the Lord's life. Its reality, thankfully, looms much larger than any of the possessions found in this world. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of the Lord God, which is beyond all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord.